Chapter 1 Floating Fortress. On foot, our journey would take a half day going north from the magic city of Sharia, but it was just an hour on horseback. Our destination was some old ruins, the remnants of a stronghold. Debris was scattered across the ground, vestiges of some stone flooring. Thick stone pillars lay toppled. It was like looking at the Parthenon, except the years had been less kind to this place. No doubt at one period it was a majestic sight to behold, but now it was little more than an echo of history.
"These are the remains of the Scott Fortress. The humans built it during Laplace's war. They say there were 1,000 humans who barricaded themselves in to oppose the demon's invasion. Sadly, they were no match for them, and the fortress was eventually captured."
This helpful explanation came via the woman beside me, a blonde with braided hair. She had an innocent look and was clad in a luxurious travel outfit. Even from afar, you could tell Ariel Anamoy Asura was a peerless beauty who oozed charisma. Wait, could she be directing that explanation at me? I kept my mouth shut and glanced around me. Luke and Sylphie were immediately behind us, with Roxy, Zenoba, Cliff, and Alina Lise bringing up the rear. Nanahoshi was in front, leading our group. Ariel's gaze was fixed upon me, and there was no one between us. I was right. She was talking to me. We'd recently traveled with some Renoan nobility for a bit, but the two of us had never really talked. Hence my confusion.
"You sure are knowledgeable, Princess," I said finally.
She gave me a soft smile.
"It's depicted in a lot of the folk songs in this area."
"I didn't know you had an interest in folk songs."
"Making connections with the local nobility requires that I be familiar with them,"
Ariel answered matter-of-factly. Knowledge of old tales was apparently essential for cozying up to the upper class. That must be a lot of work.
"But are you sure we can get to Lord Perugius from here?"
"That's a good question. I have no idea how it works, but—"
I paused, looking at Nanahoshi ahead of us. She was shouldering an enormous backpack and having a rough time walking, thanks to the rubble. Even so, she kept on trucking without a backward glance. I was following her lead, but I wondered how she planned to get to Perugius from here. As far as I could remember, my readings on teleportation magic made no mention about such circles around here. Or maybe there was one, but it hadn't been noted because it was hidden.
"I'm more worried about whether he'll be annoyed by how many people we're bringing."
Ariel chuckled.
"Lord Rudius, you say some amusing things. This is the hero who earned himself the title of king, you know. Our small group will hardly faze him."
"I hope you're right."
I glanced around, mentally ticking off each person in our group. Nanahoshi, me, Ariel, Sylphie, Luke, Roxy, Zenoba, Cliff, and Alina Lise. That made 9 of us, enough to be a large family unit. Although royalty might not consider it such a big crowd, they often entertained dozens of guests at once, so a group of fewer than 10 probably wouldn't faze them. Norn had turned down my invitation. She was too busy with school. She had said she would work hard to balance studying swordsmanship with being a member of the student council. Maybe that factored into her refusal. However, if I'd brought her with us, I'd probably have had to bring Aisha, too. That would have made us a party of 11, definitely a crowd. I didn't feel comfortable taking that many people to meet someone I didn't really know.
"Lord Perugius spends his days in seclusion now, but after Laplace's war, he lived in Asura Kingdom for a time. The people there think of him as an equal to their own king. It's said he once brought 100 servants with him when he visited the palace. Someone like that would hardly bat an eyelash at a tiny group of 9 people,"
said Ariel.
"I guess so."
In a completely unrelated tangent, Ariel's voice sure was pleasant to listen to. It was surely...